ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Text 25, Canto 9, Chapter 4. Samvardhayanti yat kama Svaraja paribhavita Dolabha napi siddhanam Mukundam hridi pashyatah Samvardhayanti yat kama Svaraja paribhavita Dolabha napi siddhanam Mun mukundam hridi pashyatah Samvardhayanti, increase happiness. Yat, because, kama, such aspirations. Svaraja, situated in his own constitutional position of rendering service to the Lord. Paribhavitaha, saturated with such aspirations. Durlabha, very rarely obtained. Na, not. Api, also. Siddhanam, of the great mystics. Mukundam, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Hridi, within the core of the heart. Pashyataha, persons always accustomed to seeing him. Translation, those who are saturated with the transcendental happiness of rendering service to the Supreme Personality Godhead are uninterested, even in the achievements of great mystics. For such achievements do not enhance the transcendental bliss felt by devotees who always think of Krishna within the core of his heart. Report by Srila Prabhupada. A pure devotee is uninterested not only in elevation to the heavenly planetary systems, but even in the perfections of mystic yoga. Real perfection is devotional service. The happiness derived from merging in the impersonal Brahman and the happiness derived from the eight perfections of mystic yoga, parentheses, anima, lagima, prapti, and so on, do not give any pleasure to the devotee as stated by Srila Prabodhananda Saraswati. Kaivalyam narakayate tridashapur akashapushpayate durdantendriya kalasarpa Patali protkata dungstrayate Vishvam purna sukayate Vidhi mahendra mahendradischa kitayate Yat karunya kataksha vaibhavatam tad goram eva stumaha Chaitanya Chandramrita, number 5. When a devotee has achieved the position of rendering transcendental loving service to the Lord through the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, he thinks the impersonal Brahman to be no better than hell, and he regards the material happiness of heavenly planets to be like a will of the wisp. As far as the perfection of mystic powers is concerned, a devotee compares it to a venomous snake with no teeth. A mystic yogi is especially concerned with controlling the senses, but because the senses of a devotee are engaged in the service of the Lord, Rishi Kena, Rishi Kesha Sevanam Bhaktir Uchate, there is no need for separate control of the senses. For those who are materially engaged, control of the senses is required. But a devotee's senses are all engaged in the service of the Lord, which means that they are already controlled. Param Drishtva Navartate, Bhagavad Gita 2:59. A devotee's senses are not attracted by material enjoyment. And even though the material world is full of misery, the devotee considers the material world to be also spiritual. Interesting sentence. Although even the material world is full of misery, the devotee considers this material world to be spiritual. That means miseries are spiritual. Right? Spiritual misery. Because everything is engaged in the service of the Lord. The difference between the spiritual world and material world is the mentality of service. Nirbandha Krishna Sambande Yuktam Vairagya Uchate. When there is no mentality of service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one's activities are material. Pra Pancha Kataya Bhudhya Hari Sambandhi Vastuna Mamukshubi Prityago Vairagyam Palgu Katyate. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. That which is not engaged in the service of the Lord is material, and nothing thus engaged should be given up in the construction of a high skyscraper and the construction of a temple. There may be the same enthusiasm, but the endeavors are different, for one is material and the other is, and the other spiritual. Spiritual activities should not be confused with material activities and given up. Nothing connected with Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is material. A devotee who considers all this is always situated in spiritual activities, and therefore he is no longer attracted by material activities. Again, Param Drishtva Navartate. So this morning's verse is a continuation of the previous verse, and the theme of happiness beyond anything of this material world. And because of that Param Drishtva, because of that Raso Varjam, Raso Pyasya, Param Drishtva Navartate, because of that higher taste, other things are unattractive. Yesterday was the yagas being performed by the brahmanas on behalf of Maharaj Ambarish. The citizens were interested because of their attachment to the personality of Godhead, and ultimately he's being propitiated in sacrifices, and so they weren't interested in the potential of such sacrifices, of situating one in the heavenly realm. So now, continuing from that, because we heard they were so trained by a pure devotee, Mahabhagavata Maharaj Ambarish, to be accustomed to hearing and chanting the glories of the Personality of Godhead. Uttama Shloka Cheshtitam. So, continuing from that, now what to speak of, I mean, beyond even the attraction for heavenly pleasures, persons may be attracted to mystic power. And such devotees, like the citizens of Maharaj Ambarish, or Maharaj Ambarish himself, not interested, not attracted to mystic power. Why? Because there's a greater happiness, or such attraction is a distraction. Prabhupada was asked, two things. He was asked, can you show some mystic power? And he would point to his disciples and say, see. Previously, the mystic power is you can produce some gold, but better than gold is a transformation of life. These people were indulging in abominable activity, and now they're free from abominable activity, and they're bright-faced. They're simply mad after Krishna. If you offer them that sense gratification that was their sum and substance of their life before, they'll say no. Why? Because there's a greater happiness. That's mystical. It's mystical. It's mystical. How to transform base consciousness to transcendental consciousness using what looks like something material, using the senses and sense objects. And from that you get spiritual consciousness. It's mystical. It's the power of bhakti. The power of bhakti is transferred or transmitted or communicated or passed on through this descending process. Through one who has bhakti, one can become awakened again in bhakti, and it's mystical. It's a mystical process. It defies logic and reason. How to use something material to get something spiritual. How to live one's life in the material world, free from material attraction. When we come here for material attraction, to become the enjoyer. It's mystical. But, so it's not mystical in the sense that ordinary sense perception can't understand it. People think we're crazy. So Prabhupada replies, who's crazy? Another response in the mystic power feature, Prabhupada, being asked, can you show mystic power? His explanation was, if you're a devotee, by not hankering for mystic power, but by Krishna's arrangement, has the capacity of all mystic power, but they're very reluctant to exhibit mystic power. Why? Because people then begin to covet the practices of bhakti yoga so they can get mystic power. That's the distraction. So to prevent worldly people from getting distracted, Prabhupada's response was commonly a great devotee doesn't exhibit it, although they may be capable. Fantastic example, because you just concluded Canto 3, Karnava Muni. Boy, did he have mystic power. Whew. But he was not inclined to exhibit it. It was a power within him, but not inclined to exhibit it. Or Grandfather Bhishma, to leave his body at will. He's a great yogi, but he was not inclined to exhibit it because he had one interest, pleasing Krishna. So his choice to leave his body at will was with his eyes fixed upon Krishna. That was his desire. Or Haridas Thakur did the same. Who can do that? It defies material law. You can't just leave your body when you want to. You can try to commit suicide, but just, you're sitting there or lying there, and Dadichi did the same. He just gave up his body. There are powers that a devotee has without aspiring for powers, because of the connection with Krishna, because that singular focus upon connection with Krishna. So the verse is saying, Samvardayanti, because of their increased happiness, they have, arising from their kaman, in this case, doesn't mean lust, it means appropriate for the context, it means aspiration for Svaraja. Svaraja is being situated in their constitutional position as a servant of the Lord. and paribhavita, saturated. So saturated with such aspiration connected to the previous, by becoming accustomed to hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord, being situated in the Lord. The last word of the purport or of this, the verse is pashyata, seeing the Lord. Or in the translation, it's remembering Krishna within the core of their heart. It's a nice phrase. The core of the heart. It's the soul, or it's the core of the heart. The heart is poetically or metaphorically indicating the place where you have feelings. So it's the mind and the heart are somewhat similar, but the core of the heart is the soul. So the soul's aspiration. Pashyataha, paribhavitaha, saturated with such aspirations, not saturated, soaking, completely immersed in the aspiration of being with the Lord, although within the world. And that happiness derived results in no attraction for other things. Durlabha napi siddhanam, that siddhanam, that perfection is rarely achieved. Mukundam riddhi pashyataha, seeing the Lord within their heart. No attraction for these attainments of mystic power. Siddhanam. Na api siddhanam. Not interested in what the aspirations of siddhi or mystic perfection. You know the verse. Jitendri isn't with us this morning because he's attending. It's the anniversary of his father's departure. But he likes to hear these verses. The ones that Prabhupada quoted often. Bhukti, mukti, siddhi, kami, sakale ashanta. Shanta and ashanta. Shanti and ashanti. Peace, no peace. Troubled mind. One's mind becomes troubled. Ashanta. Bhukti, liberation. Whoops. Sense enjoyment. Mukti, liberation. Bhukti mukti siddhi, aspiring or hankering for mystic power. Bhukti mukti siddhi kami, if one's mind, the place where there's desire rests, is hankering for sense gratification, liberation, or mystic power, ashanti. One can't be peaceful. One can be peaceful in only one way, the rest of the verse says, through the aspiration for devotional service, which is the message of the purport also. There's no need for separate control of the senses for the devotee because the senses are already controlled. How? Dedication to Krishna. Dedication of the senses to the service of the master of the senses, Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam. Senses are, it's a subset, it's already included. Now let's go through this, another one of Prabhupada's much loved verses, again and again and again. There are certain verses, a number of them, Prabhupada's favorite verses. This is one. This, by Prabodhananda Saraswati. Now if Davida was here with us, he would sing it in different ways and give his poeticized rendering of its meaning and he's Slokaraj. But Prabodhananda Saraswati was the uncle of Gopal Bhatta Goswami. Prabodhananda Saraswati was the brother of Gopal Bhatta's father. And so he, Prabodhananda Saraswati, was residing in the same place where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was residing with his brother, Venkata Bhatta. So he, Prabodhananda Saraswati, got Mahaprabhu's association. And after getting Mahaprabhu's association, although he was a sannyasi in the line of Ramanujacharya, he left Sri Rangam in his illustrious position as a brahmana, brother of the chief priest, sannyasi, to go live in Vrindavan. And those of you that have been to Vrindavan, you know where he resided. There's the Samadhi place right behind Kaliyagat. His demeanor was very humble, but he was a great lover of Vrindavan and a great lover of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And so he wrote in Sanskrit poetry beautiful verses. Chaitanya Chandramrita is one, and there are all these really long lines of Sanskrit. And I first came to know about them when visiting once in Miami, when Dravida was living in Miami, and I walked by his room and he was with his tambura reciting these verses, and he just in another orbit, just reciting Chaitanya Chandramrita. So I sat down and listened and got transported with him in his Vimana, Sloka Vimana. So then I became attracted, and I got the recording and would listen to them regularly, just the reciting without his poeticized rendering of the meaning. And then Prabhupada would quote this one in particular again and again. So there's several parts which in the purport Prabhupada has kind of paraphrased. Kaivalya Narakayate, that's how it starts. So Kaivalya can mean different things, but in this case it's merging, the Sayuja Mukti, merging into Brahman. Kaivalya Naraka. For the devotee, it's hell. The happiness of becoming one with the Supreme is no better than hell. Why? No service. No service? That's hellish. Straight jacket and gagged and blindfolded in a padded cell. No service? Narakayate. Then Tridasha Pur. Tridasha Pur means the abode of the demigods. That's from the previous verse. Tridasha Pur. Akasha. Akasha means sky. Pushpayate. Pushpa. Flowers in the sky. What's flowers in the sky? There's flowers in the sky, but there's no such thing as flowers in the sky. No more meaningful than flowers in the sky. Going to heavenly planets. Flowers in the sky. Will of the wisp is flowers in the sky. Horses' eggs. No, it means nothing. Liberation? Hellish. Heavenly destination? Meaningless. No meaning at all. And then the concern that the mystics have in trying to control the senses so they can get mystic power, siddhis, for the next line is indicating durdanta indriya. Durdanta indriya is untamable senses. So for the those interested in mystic power, they don't, without the power of bhakti, not the Karma Muni personalities, but those that aren't devotees and want mystic powers, they have to intensely endeavor to control the senses, the untamable senses, Durdanta, Indriya. Kala Sarpa Patali. Kala Sarpa is like Kala Sarpa. Sarpa means serpent or snakes. Kala Sarpa Patali. Multitudes, the senses, are like multitudes of untamable senses. Untamable snakes, excuse me. Untamable senses are like multiples of untamable senses. But prokata dangstrayate, they have no more meaning than fangs of a serpent that are removed for those who are engaged in devotional service. Fangs of a serpent that are removed. So the cobra may raise his head and stick his tongue out and make a noise. You know, I'm going to strike you. But if he doesn't, you may be afraid. But if he has no fangs, there's nothing to be afraid of. What's he going to do? There's no... nothing. So the fear or concern of the senses being untamable and sources of great misery, but because of their untamableness, involved in striving for sense gratification, if the senses are, the fangs are removed from the serpent, the senses are harmless. That is to say, we engage in the senses, in objects of the senses, that's bhakti, for the purpose of pleasing Krishna. It's like a serpent that the fangs are removed. Nothing to worry about. So that's, you know, aspiration, fear, gone. How is that? Vishvam purnam sukhayate. Purna, sukha. Complete happiness. The whole Vishva, the whole universe, the whole creation, the world around you, becomes purna sukhayate. Then, Vidhi refers to Lord Brahma. Mahendra refers to Lord Shiva. Adis refers to Indra. Cha, Kirtaye. They become like insects. Why? Because the personality of Godhead, in relation to a big blazing fire, what's a spark? Insignificant. The perspective changes altogether. The world doesn't become a place to be fearful. The world becomes opportunities for service. An ocean of happiness. Yet, karunya, kataksha, that yat as a pronoun refers to Krishna, the object of bhakti, who then becomes this karunya kataksha, aksha. The sidelong glance of that Supreme Person becomes an ocean of mercy. Just hankering for that sidelong glance of the Supreme Person. Receiving it or just hankering for it. Hankering for that association of the Supreme Person, even at a distance, just his sidelong glance. Such persons who have that aspiration beyond the material allurements and beyond the miseries of, potential miseries of the senses, they have this very coveted position, great power, spiritual power. Bhaivava vatam How does that happen? By the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this is from Chaitanya Chandramrita. By Lord Chaitanya giving the holy name and the process of devotional service that awakens from the chanting of the holy name. He's given all these things. Therefore, Stumaha, let us glorify him. Such a nice verse. It's one of Prabhupada's favorites, especially that first line. Kaivalya Narakayate Chidashapur Pushpa Akasha. This is describing the fruit of bhakti. The bhakti process is the hearing chanting process. This is the fruit of that bhakti process, described in positive and negative terms. No attraction for these other things that others, largely, that's their goal. Whether they may not even understand what the goal is. I mean, the sense gratifier person. But the Vedas are very clear about what their goal is. The goal is senses contacting sense objects to get some happiness. And that's happiness. And managing the misery that comes from that so-called happiness is material life. So, there's the negative. But the negative becomes diminished to insignificance based upon the positive. This process of bhakti. Last part is twice that Sanskrit is given, and throughout the purport this pram drishtva navartate. This is, you know, what the Bhagavatam does is it's a graduate study of Bhagavad Gita. So chapter 2, text 59, how to go beyond material attraction to spiritual happiness. Pram drishtva. Vishaya. Sense gratification. Vishaya vinivartante niraharasha dehi nam. Dehi nam. Dehi is the body and dehi nam is one who's within the body, the occupier of the dehi, or deha, dehi nam, hankering for vishaya. Very troublesome. How to go beyond it? Those who are embodied, to go beyond that allure of sense gratification, very difficult, struggle. But one can easily go beyond it. How? By experiencing higher taste. So that's Bhagavad Gita chapter 2. Here's the Bhagavatam saying it in the graduate study message, using the citizens of Marajambarish as the example. Because they are properly guided, led by their king and the sages and so forth of his kingdom, they were beyond the attraction of material happiness, sense gratification, heavenly pleasure, mystic power, liberation. No, thank you. Because of their fullness in happiness, saturated in the happiness of devotional service. Param drishtva navartate. Last is this phrase. Prabhupada's taking advantage of this. Vishvam purna sukhayate. The whole world is seen as spiritual, and therefore sukhayate. Purna sukhayate. Complete happiness. We'll go back to that sentence that I read twice. Here it is a third time. Even though the material world is full of misery, comma, the devotee considers the material world to be also spiritual because everything is engaged in the service of the Lord. So when you become a devotee, Did you get sick? I mean, what happened to Giridhari? He's not here because he had an appendix operation. But wait a minute, he's a devotee, so he's not supposed to have appendicitis and have to go to the hospital and have an operation because he's a devotee. Sukha, right? Purna Sukha. Ask him, well, how much Sukha was it? And, you know, and then the healing afterwards. He can't even come down. Because after surgery, and the anesthesia wears off, there's pain. Whatever they did inside to remove the appendix and cut the body open and so forth. So it doesn't mean that no pain. That's the definition of pleasure, is no pain. So, fourth time, although the world is full of misery, also it's spiritual, because we're using this body in service to Krishna. So part of service to Krishna means sometimes and sometimes. You know, it's sometimes like the weather, like Chicago. Sometimes and sometimes. Sometimes it's warm. Sometimes it's hot. Sometimes it's pleasant. Sometimes it's cold. Sometimes it's really cold. Sometimes it snows. It's like the description of the tree when describing the tolerance of the tree. Taror eva sahishnuna. Sahishnuna. Taror eva sahishnuna. More tolerant like the tree. Just render service. I read outside my window is, I don't know what kind of tree it is, but, you know, in the winter it's shivering. And then spring comes, and then all these flowers come. And then it's far out, like within a couple of days, all the flowers are gone. It's like it's snowing again because all the flowers fall to the ground. And now there's all these little berries. And what's it doing? It's providing food for whatever living entities come along, and the squirrels. There's a bunch of squirrels that hang out right outside my window. And the birds and insects and whatever else. It's just rendering service. Enduring and rendering service. That's the life of devotion. We're enduring. Sometimes it's tough. We're enduring and rendering service. That doesn't change. The rendering service doesn't change. And while outside, it's always changing. And sometimes and sometimes and sometimes in the middle. Sometimes really extreme. Sometimes really extreme over there. Like spring. It's like such a beautiful season. And then it passes. Becomes hot. Time keeps moving. So as time keeps moving and the external circumstance comes and it goes. Tororeva sahishnuna. We continue serving and find happiness in that service. That's seeing the world in a spiritual way, or seeing Krishna everywhere, even in the misery that comes. Seeing Krishna everywhere, even in the misery that comes, and even in the happiness that comes. It's not, you know, the happiness is that's Krishna, and the other is, wait a minute, Krishna forgot me. The happiness, the real happiness is the happiness of devotional service. That's how to see Krishna in everything. Being fixed in devotional service, being fixed in devotional service. Saturated in the mood of being in service to Krishna. You know, it sounds nice until the misery comes. And then, challenge. But it's also when the happiness comes, there's good fortune. And then become, you know, now it's getting good. Be the enjoyer of the circumstance. That's another distraction. Heavenly happiness, Brahma, Lord Shiva, Indra, the residence of heaven and the abode of heaven, and that expectation is, in one sense, it's natural for the conditioned soul. We're being encouraged by the Srimad Bhagavatam again and again to go beyond that. The pull and the push, the attraction and repulsion, the good fortune, ill fortune, being bounced back and forth by the forces of time and duality. And go to the position of transcendence. That's where the Bhagavatam wants to take us. And hearing it carefully, we can go there. There's some work, but we can go there. Any discussion? Yeah.
This last part that you were explaining, Srimad Bhaswami, obviously when misery, it's a very amazing concept that we understand the world is dukkhalayana shashvatam, and obviously we have a good experience of the world being like that. And to come to the concept or the understanding that is actually spiritual, that all these things that we go through, happiness, distress, all these changes and fluctuations of experiences, when we're situated in devotional service, it's just the same, it's spiritual.
Well, careful. The happiness and distress is not itself spiritual. The place is the perception of material happiness and distress. That's the mind. And the mind that's not upon Krishna will not see the circumstances spiritual. So just be careful with your language.
Thank you. Now, obviously when we hit those, you know, difficulties or recurring obstacles that makes us disturb, and when we come to, when we hit that wall, it's a very real experience as a devotee that it becomes an obstacle for actually experiencing the happiness of devotional service.
Yes.
And it's almost like it never ends, you know. Sometimes it's an experience that is a recurring experience, and you tried and subsides, comes back again like that. So when is it happens that one becomes, I mean, when you become a pure devotee or something like that?
It's not exactly when does it happen. It's a gradual process. It's not an event. It's a gradual process, like the rising of the sun. Even before you can see the sun is rising. And then you can see, you know, the first sign of the sun globe on the horizon. I mean, here in big cities it's hard to experience that, but in rural places you can experience. So it's the process, and it's an eternal or ongoing process of experience of our relationship with Krishna. It doesn't end. So when does that, you know, according to Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, when prema comes to full bloom. But it's not simply an event. There's the pre-prema and there's the prema. The bell rings. Prema! So then, now I'm over there on that side. It's a gradual process. And then in the stage of prema, it goes deeper and deeper also.
Okay. Maharaj, is this understanding correct, that before initiation, the difficulties that one gets is because of their karma, but initiation, then the karma is all burnt, and after that, it is Krishna's exam, and like a test for the devotee?
Well, if the answer to that question is yes, then one should be intensely eager, obsessively eager to get initiated, because otherwise I have all this karma thing on my head. So the answer is no. That is, bhakti, initiated or not, performer of bhakti, bhakti has the power to eliminate, burn to ashes, not only current prarabdha karma, but the whole stockpile of karma. Bhakti has that power. Then comes the next question, then what's the significance of initiation? Because we say at the time of initiation, at the time of initiation, the formal connection with Krishna is made, and one makes vows, and Krishna, through disciplic succession, accepts that pledge to him or that commitment to him, and the disciplic succession and the initiator to refrain from sinful activities and to commit to the primary activity of bhakti, the chanting of Krishna's holy name in some prescribed number. So then it's like, then you have a certificate, so to speak. I mean, I'm using that word because I've come to understand it's a cultural thing for those born in India that you get a certificate for something. But you get a certificate for having that pledge and being accepted. But the prior to the formality of initiation, there's inner commitment that may not be formalized by initiation. And that's the connection. And even the devotional service performed before that. Devotional service is very powerful. Let's just take, for example, from Nectar of Devotion, this description, because there's our Rath Yatra poster. For those who see Lord Jagannath passing on the Rath Yatra cart, what does Nectar Devotion say? They stand and they appreciate. Such persons are to be considered four-armed residents of Vaikuntha. They're not initiated. But the potency is there in the expanding of Jagannath's mercy, those that receive, and who knows what they're appreciating, but they appreciate. Get the idea? Now, in the next moment or two or three, they're doing sinful things. So they're becoming dirtied again. But power of bhakti is the power of bhakti. At any stage. Right?
My question is from yesterday evening's class.
Okay.
Where you were saying, we have faults or weaknesses and we have strengths, and on the basis of our strength we can overcome the weakness.
Well, it's one of the things that is certainly helpful. Yes.
From where I'm coming, I see that for me sometimes the faults become so big that I can't see my strength.
Okay, well, that has to do with the mind, not the fault. Mind magnifies. Right? Let's say fear. and just meditate on, you know, something might happen. I'm worrying about the future. Something might happen. I just meditate on it, and my whole being becomes filled with fear. It's mind. Or whatever else, any other example. So, the acknowledgement of something that's a fault is not the recommendation is not obsess about the fault, because then it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. It appears to be bigger and bigger. But we acknowledge it, and then we turn our attention to the light. And the light dispels the darkness. So the quality is some access, some ability that Krishna has given, some gift that Krishna has given to serve him. You can walk. You can use your hands. Some people can't walk. Some people can't use their hands. You can speak. You can hear. So use the faculties that you're given in service. Take shelter of the light, and the darkness is diminished and eventually dispelled. It's not that the faults get bigger and bigger. The mind becomes focused on that to the exclusion of Krishna. A really nice Bhagavatam verse that says it eloquently in Sanskrit. You can look it up later. Bhayam dvitiyam abhinivesha takshyat. So look that up. You know, learn that verse. Learn the verse and its purport. Abhinivesh means absorption in. Dvitiya refers to something other than Krishna. Absorption in something other than Krishna results in bhayam. Syat means arises. Fear arises. This fault gets bigger and bigger because absorption in something other than Krishna, seeing something as apart from Krishna, that's maya. Bhagavatam definition, that's what maya is. That the purport here says material is to see something separate from Krishna. That's maya. That's material. Spiritual is to see in relation to Krishna. Like Devahuti says to Kapila Dev, I'm in maya. I'm attached. And I know the philosophy, but I'm attached. And that attachment is bewildering my mind, and my intelligence has abandoned me. It's just maya. That maya is your illusory potency. You put it there. Can you please remove it? It's yours. Take shelter. Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.